Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening, and welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to The Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
The Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports.
The Sunny Side of Sports Show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports. Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Good performance of my players. I'm very happy. We must be pleased for the performance, for the personality, for the right spirit that we showed tonight against Atletico Madrid. We went 1-0 down after the first half. As you know very well, it's very difficult when Atletico Madrid score and then to come back. But despite this, I think we deserved to win.
That's Antonio Conte, the Italian manager of Chelsea, talking about the London-based football club's dramatic 2-1 road win against Atletico Madrid in a UEFA Champions League Group C match. Belgian striker Michy Batshuayi came off the bench in the 82nd minute, and he scored in the fourth and final minute of stoppage time to lift the Blues of Chelsea to the comeback victory. And here are a few fun facts about Batshuayi, who will celebrate his 24th birthday on Monday. He was born in the Belgian capital, Brussels, but he was eligible to play for the Democratic Republic of Congo's national team because of his Congolese parents. In 2015, though, Michy ruled out this option, saying although his Congolese heritage is important to him, he would rather represent Belgium. Batshuayi has made 10 international appearances for Belgium and scored 4 goals. After his Champions League goal-scoring heroics in Spain, Chelsea manager Antonio Conte had this to say about Michy.
I think for Michy, don't forget Michy is another young player. And last season, he struggled a lot to understand the league. And I think he's improving, and his commitment is very good during the training session. I think he has a lot of room for improvement, and he has to continue to work in this way.
With that big win, Antonio Conte and Chelsea move to the top of the Group C table with the maximum 6 points from 2 matches. Atletico Madrid, which lost the 2016 Champions League final to city rival Real Madrid, has 1 point. Also in Group C, the Italian club Roma scored a 2-1 road victory over Karabag of Azerbaijan. Roma has 4 points and Karabag has no points. Turning to Group A, Basel of Switzerland scored a big 5-0 home victory over Benfica of Portugal. Swiss striker Dimitri Oberlin celebrated his 20th birthday with an excellent performance. Dimitri scored 2 goals and set up another for Basel. In the other group match, Manchester United cruised to a 4-1 road victory over CSKA Moscow. Belgian striker Romelu Lukaku bagged 2 goals for Man U, which tops the table with the maximum 6 points. Man U's manager is the Portuguese tactician Jose Mourinho.
For the team, confidence is good because 6 points in 2 matches in the Champions League give us in a good position. But was a strong performance, a very strong start with great personality. Nobody speaking about the players that couldn't play. Nobody worried with that. Everybody thinking and give trust and belief to the players that are not starting matches, but today they did. So I'm really happy with the performance.
In Group B results Wednesday in the UEFA Champions League, Celtic of Scotland scored a 3-0 road victory over Anderlecht in Belgium. And Paris Saint-Germain won by that same 3-0 scoreline against visiting Bayern Munich. And PSG's attack definitely had a South American flavor. Uruguayan striker Edinson Cavani and the Brazilians Neymar and Dani Alves all scored goals for the French club. PSG now has the maximum 6 points in Group B, followed by Bayern Munich and Celtic with 3 points each, and Anderlecht with no points. Finally, in Group D and Wednesday's results, Barcelona edged host Sporting CP 1-0 in Lisbon, Portugal. An own goal by Sporting defender Sebastian Coates in the 49th minute accounted for that final result. And Juventus of Italy defeated visiting Olympiacos of Greece 2-0 after second-half goals from Argentine striker Gonzalo Higuain and the Croatian Mario Mandzukic. Barcelona now leads Group D with the maximum 6 points, followed by Sporting CP and Juventus with 3 points each, and Olympiacos at the bottom of the table with no points. Our Voice of America football fans will remember Juventus lost to Real Madrid 4-1 in the 2017 UEFA Champions League final, played on June 3rd in Cardiff, Wales.
Hi, I'm Kofi Apari, defender for DC United. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
I encourage our Voice of America listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports blog. The address is blogs.voanews.com/sunny. Once again, that address, blogs.voanews.com/sunny. My latest blog post is titled Olympic champ Kipchoge reflects on Berlin Marathon win. 32-year-old Eliud Kipchoge was in a philosophical mood after winning his second BMW Berlin Marathon title in 3 years on Sunday. Speaking after the race, the Kenyan athlete said, and I quote, "Planning to run a marathon is like life. Anything can happen. You run fast today, and tomorrow you run slow." Well, I'd say Eliud ran fast on Sunday and on a wet Berlin course, too. He clocked 2 hours, 3 minutes, and 32 seconds in Berlin, 35 seconds off the world record set by fellow Kenyan Dennis Kimeto in the 2014 BMW Berlin Marathon. Kipchoge says he traveled to Berlin to try to break the world record, but rainy weather changed his plans. Before the race, Eliud Kipchoge said his coach, Patrick Sang, has played a pivotal role in his athletic success.
It's really very important. It's really critically crucial in my life, in my career in athletics, yes.
For more insight into Eliud Kipchoge's athletic career, the energetic Andy Edwards asked his coach, Patrick Sang, about their relationship.
Incidentally, Eliud and I come from the same village, but I got to know him later. Incidentally, also, his mother was my kindergarten teacher. Since the time I came into contact with Eliud, as a young guy, he used to come to me for a training program. I would do it without asking him where he was from, but eventually I got to know that we were from the same village. From then on, I continued helping him. But what was unique with him from the word go is the fact that he was really keen on improving on performance, his personal performance, even at that early age. That is going back to 2002 when I first worked with him.
It's also struck me as one of the many reporters interviewing Eliud his mental sharpness. And he said in Berlin 2 years ago how important it was to be mentally fresh. Physical tiredness, you can recover quite quickly. But if you get stale mentally, and it's the way his mind works, and as an observer in a marathon, mentally he seems often to dominate his rivals. Is that fair comment?
I think it would be a fair comment, and I think it comes from a long history of how he started running, how he values running, and how he wants to take running to the next level.
Was it hard to make the transition to turn Elliot into a marathon runner? Of course, we know about his success on the track, but not everybody makes that change. And he did it, it seems, without a lot of problems.
We had to go through a series of consultation, discussion, and we agreed, and he understood that what it meant to change. Because what we looked at the age where when he was not getting gold medals anymore, we asked ourselves, what is he going to achieve more if he stays on the track? And then we agreed that there was nothing much more to achieve. And then we asked ourselves the next question, would it indeed be better with the talent that he has to try something else? And the consensus was that, you know, it was the right time, the right moment to try something else, and that was trying the marathon business.
Going into Berlin, what did that experience in May in Monza on the Formula One circuit give him? When he ran just outside 2 hours, and of course, a lot of talk, will this be the first sub-2-hour marathon, admittedly in special conditions, but did he gain a lot from that? Did it help him coming into this race?
I think the confidence went up because, first of all, it was something that many people believe it was not possible, but he brought it close to reality. And I'm sure it has given him a lot of confidence going forward to any other marathon that, you know, it's possible. He was able to recover like than any other normal marathon. So I think coming here or going to any other competition, the flexibility to go beyond is already been shown that it's there.
That's Patrick Sang, the coach of Olympic marathon champion Eliud Kipchoge of Kenya. And Coach Sang was talking with the energetic Andy Edwards in Berlin, Germany. Berlin is where Eliud Kipchoge won the BMW Berlin Marathon title on Sunday. Patrick Sang, for his part, also has a pretty impressive athletic resume. The 53-year-old Sang won a silver medal for Kenya in the men's 3,000-meter steeplechase race at the 1992 Olympics in Barcelona, Spain. And Patrick also won two silver medals in the steeplechase at the World Championships at Tokyo 1991 and Stuttgart 1993. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side of life.
From Pink to Pitbull, Beyonce to Bruno Mars, the hits live here on the Top 20 Countdown. Hi, I'm Ray McDonald, and for the past 30 years, I've been counting down the very best of the Billboard Hot 100 Pop Singles Chart. The hit list never sleeps, so don't you miss a moment of the action. Join me every Thursday for the Top 20 Countdown, right here and worldwide on The Voice of America.
Music Time in Africa offers splendid sounds from the continent that all humanity calls home. From the classics of yesteryear to the hot tracks of the moment. I offer you what you need. Free ear therapy and mind massage. Join me, I'm Heather Maxwell, for Music Time in Africa, every Saturday and Sunday at 0900, 2000, and 2100 UTC.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America.
Our Voice of America listeners can also follow me on Twitter. My handle is @VOASunnySports. Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is Andrew Palcheski, the VOA's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sunny. Good to be here with you.
Welcome back, Andrew. What's trending on this Thursday?
Well, Sunny, it's been the story that we've been talking about all week long, these protests in the National Football League and the debate back and forth on social media. Should the players be kneeling or sitting or leaving the field during the national anthem? Should they remain on the field and stand out of respect? And as we talked about yesterday, this has gone now into other sports. We talked about the WNBA, Major League Baseball. Some players are kneeling. And we talked about the National Hockey League, specifically Joel Ward, who's a black NHL player with the San Jose Sharks, who said he would consider taking a knee when the hockey season starts next week. Well, we're getting word now that Nashville Predators star P.K. Subban, who's considered probably the best and most well-known black hockey player in the National Hockey League, says he will not join the other athletes in taking a knee. He reportedly made these comments at a charity event earlier this week. Subban is Canadian, so he said he didn't want to disrespect the American flag. So that's a bit of a wrinkle there. He's not an American.
Interesting, okay.
So we were getting some international perspective now, perhaps. Fans are a little disappointed that Subban seems to have missed the point. We talked about this, that a lot of people are using this as a sign of unity or talking about patriotism, when the reason why this all started years ago with Colin Kaepernick was because of the issue of the treatment of minorities at the hands of police in the United States. So people disappointed that Subban has made this about patriotism, about honoring the American flag and the American national anthem, when it really is about something else. But others are pointing out he is indeed Canadian, so why should he kneel? He is not an American. This is something that has been an American issue with the policing in America, so shouldn't affect him. He shouldn't have to kneel. Meanwhile, back to the National Football League, Sonny. All eyes are on Green Bay, Wisconsin, because the Chicago Bears are taking on the Green Bay Packers tonight in Thursday Night Football.
Two of the traditional rivals in the NFL.
Yeah, in fact, it's the oldest rivalry in professional football. They started playing each other back in 1921, so almost 100 years they've been going at it. And it's actually the most played rivalry as well, including the regular season and the postseason. They've played 194 games. So quite a long rivalry there. But a lot of people looking to Green Bay to see what those teams are going to do tonight, if there's going to be any show of unity or kneeling or sitting or what have you from these two teams. So there's a lot of attention up on Green Bay. But P.K. Subban isn't the only international angle to this story, Sonny, because there's evidence that this isn't just in America, it's going around the world, and evidence that several instances of on Twitter, Russian-linked accounts tweeting about these NFL protests, suggesting that they may be trying to intensify the anger or shape the conversation, trying to build some of the tension that's been going on. One of the big stories in the news has been Russian interference in the U.S. presidential election. This appears to be interference in the sports world. So this has grown from a national story in the U.S. to one of really global proportions.
Well, that's a story we're going to be following, I think, at least probably for a few more weeks, Andrew, at this point.
Yeah, and there's been no real effort on the part of the National Football League to try to police this or stop this. We've talked about Roger Goodell, the NFL commissioner, has made a statement. But other than that, there really hasn't been much talk from the National Football League. It depends on how long this goes and how it intensifies. But I think this is going to be a story that we are talking about for weeks to come, and one that the NFL is going to eventually have to respond to.
You mentioned a possible boycott by fans on Wednesday's show, Andrew. I'm wondering, do you get the sense this will hurt the NFL financially with television ratings and that type of thing?
You know, there have been stories that some cable providers that people have paid, you know, hundreds of dollars to get the cable package to see all the NFL games, that they've been offering refunds because of this. I don't know that many people are taking them up on that, because at the end of the day, people still want to watch their football. It's such a big moneymaker, the National Football League. I don't know that this would hurt it because it's already making so much money, millions if not billions of dollars. But if this continues on, it's going to be something that they're going to pay attention to, because they don't want to lose money. And if they get the sense that this could hurt the NFL's branding or have people boycotting the games, they are going to do something to address that.
Andrew, I understand a tiger is trending.
Yes, the tiger, Tiger Woods, making headlines at the President's Cup competition in the U.S. state of New Jersey. He's not there as a player, though. He's there as a co-captain for Team USA. And unfortunately, the headlines that he's making are about his play, even though he's not playing, but they're not good headlines, because at a press conference, Woods says that he can envision a scenario where he never returns to professional golf. He said that after having back surgery in April, he's only hitting 60-yard tee shots. He said that he's not playing as well as he hoped he would be. And he says that it's quite possible that this is the end of his professional golf career. So very upsetting for many fans to hear that. They're taking to social media and saying that it's very sad to see arguably the greatest golfer ever end his career broken and injured. Some people are saying, you knew this was a possibility, but you didn't want to admit it. And now that he said it, it's really tough to hear. But other fans still holding out hope that he can get better, that this is only just the beginning of his rehab, and maybe a year or two down the road, if not sooner, they'll see him back on the links. So certainly hoping that Tiger Woods can get well and get back on the golf course.
National Basketball Association clubs open preseason training camps this week, Andrew. And I understand a couple of old friends and old stars are reuniting.
Yeah, we've been talking about a lot of these big moves in the offseason, and a big move announced this week. Dwayne Wade is going from the Chicago Bulls to the Cleveland Cavaliers, reuniting with an old teammate from his days at the Miami Heat, and that is LeBron James. James and Wade played together on Miami, and they won back-to-back championships in 2012 and 2013, so quite a nice reunion for them. Lots of fans saying the duo is back, although a lot of people saying Chris Bosh probably feels left out. He was part of that trio in Miami.
That's right.
He's not joining them there in Cleveland. But LeBron told reporters at Cleveland Media Day, it's like the first day of school when you don't know who's in your class, but then you see your best friend. So very nice. And the two of them took to Snapchat, and they posted a video saying they had a good first day of practice. And then they said it's time to eat, and they toast each other with a glass of wine, well-deserved glass of wine after a hard day on the courts. But here's the thing, Sonny. We talked about a lot of these big moves. Cleveland loses Kyrie Irving, but they're gaining Isaiah Thomas, Derrick Rose, and Dwayne Wade. Lots of people saying, is this the team to beat? Forget the Golden State Warriors. They picked up Russell Westbrook, great, whatever. Cleveland, they say, this is the team in the National Basketball Association. So we're going to have to watch this season to see. But they're already penciling them in for the three-peat, Cleveland and Golden State in the final. We'll see if it happens.
Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thanks, Sonny.
And that wraps up the September 28th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to producer Kwame Ofori. Thanks also to VOA engineer Zubair. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
President Donald Trump issued new travel restrictions on nationals of North Korea, Venezuela, and Chad, while continuing to restrict the travel of citizens from five of the six countries included in Executive Order 13780. The new restrictions will take effect on October 18th for nationals of North Korea, Venezuela, and Chad. The government of North Korea does not cooperate with the United States in any respect and fails to satisfy all information sharing requirements. Therefore, entry into the United States of nationals of North Korea as immigrants and non-immigrants is suspended. The government in Venezuela is uncooperative in verifying whether its citizens pose national security or public safety threats, fails to share public safety and terrorism-related information adequately, and has been assessed to be not fully cooperative with respect to receiving its nationals subject to final orders of removal from the United States. Accordingly, the entry into the United States of certain Venezuelan government officials and their immediate family members as non-immigrants on business, tourist, and business tourist visas is suspended. Chad, President Trump noted, was added to the list despite its government being an important counterterrorism partner because its government is not able at this time to adequately share public safety and terrorism-related information. Accordingly, the entry into the United States of nationals of Chad as immigrants and as non-immigrants on business, tourist, and business tourist visas is suspended. Iran, Libya, Syria, Yemen, and Somalia were left on the list of affected countries in the new proclamation issued by the president. But restrictions on citizens from Sudan were lifted. Iraqi citizens will not be subject to travel prohibitions because of the close cooperative relationship between the United States and the democratically elected government of Iraq. Citing security, President Trump made clear his reasons for issuing the new travel restrictions in a tweet. "Making America safe is my number one priority. We will not admit those into our country we cannot safely vet."
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government. For a transcript of this and other VOA editorials, or to receive editorials by email, visit the VOA Editorials Internet homepage at voanews.com/editorials.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, an inside look at Startup Africa, a nonprofit Delaware-based organization that supports youth in building business skills that foster financial independence, create jobs, and grow financial economies. A discussion on Startup Africa on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
On Africa News Tonight, we let the sound tell the story, putting you in the middle of events from Africa's news to world crises. Africa News Tonight comes to you live from the Voice of America on the following shortwave frequencies, 6080 kilohertz and 15580 kilohertz. We are also live on the internet at www.voaafrica.com.
Hey there, this is Shauna Renee, the lady DJ and host of Soul Lounge. Every Sunday at 1400 UTC, I choose an artist that you and I love, and we break down their entire career while listening to their biggest hits. That's what we do here on the Soul Lounge. Once again, every Sunday, 1400 UTC, right here.
Hello, Africa music fans. We have hours of the music that you love every day. Some things changed, some remain the same. From the north to the south and the east to the west, we play only the best. Tune in at 0100, 0200, 1200 and 1300 UTC GMT right here on VOA Africa.